Appreciate your prayers today as we look into the Word a little bit. I've been thinking a lot, several weeks here. I feel like the Lord's put this on my heart and didn't know when the time was to deliver it, but I feel like this afternoon's the right time. But I've been thinking about family and serving the Lord through our family. Every one of us here came from somewhere. We came from parents. And some of us have children here today. And the Bible says children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. That's in Psalm 127:3. So I want to write the title on the board, Serving the Lord Through Family. And I want to look at the example of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. So we know that, just lay a little foundation, we know God established family long ago. He established marriage right after creation. He created man and He told them to be fruitful and multiply. That's in Genesis 1:26-28. God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And then in the last verse it said God saw everything and He said it was good. And in the next chapter, God formed Eve out of Adam's rib and God presented Eve to Adam. And Adam said, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And what God... therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. The only witness to that wedding was God Himself. But God Himself ordained that wedding, and it was to be for life. It says, this purpose, a man will leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife. That man has a new purpose. It's not his father and his mother's goal, but it's the goal and purpose of him and his wife now. And this is the pattern that God created. We know that things in life don't always work out and there are difficult circumstances, but the Lord has a purpose for everyone in this room today. And even those maybe that this pattern hasn't worked out or it hadn't been fulfilled yet, The truth that we have in the Word should not be preached. They would agree that it should still be preached today because this is what we want to lift up as a pattern to follow, as a purpose to seek for. If we're not married and we have that option, this is something that God wants to benefit the world through, is through family. And God chose family as a medium to benefit the world before almost anything else. And so family has such a wonderful direct impact on the world around us. I look at what can be done through a family, and they have such a unique ability to be in a congregation or to go somewhere or do something than just maybe a single person has. A single person has definite abilities that a family doesn't have too. The Lord has a purpose for all of us, as I said. But I'm thinking about family and the beautiful example that God wants us to be in this world through our family. I think of a congregation that has children. It's alive. And it's lively. And it's awesome to be able to see a congregation full of children. There's just something about it that attracts more people. I know brother said this morning in business meeting, children really make up a meeting and they determine who all else comes. Because their friends hear someone coming and they want to come, and here we have a meeting populated by people because of the desire of children. And it's a beautiful thing today. And I want to think about the purpose that God has for us in our family and through our children. Because anytime that God calls us to something, whether it's me or my wife or something else, it should involve the family. The children are not just a fifth wheel, a spare part that is a detraction to what God's purpose is. No, the children are part of God's will, and they are part of the purpose. And I want to look a little bit at Abraham, the example of Abraham. And well, before that, I want to turn and just read a couple scriptures about Noah. And Noah, he found grace in God's eyes. This is in the 6th chapter of Genesis, Genesis 6. And we see what happened. God created man. He created marriage. He said everything was good, but yet in the 6th chapter, he repented himself that he had made man. But Noah, in the 8th verse, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so God created a covenant with Noah. In the 18th verse it says, "But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee." God imparted something to Noah because he knew he could trust Noah. He knew that he was a man after his own heart. And God entrusted Noah with a very great purpose. We wouldn't be here today if Noah didn't fulfill the purpose of God through his family. So now, turning on over to Abraham. Abraham 18, let's see, Genesis 18 and 16. Genesis 18 and 16. "And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which I have spoken of him. And the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous." So Abraham was a righteous man that obeyed God. And God looked on the world. He saw the sin of Sodom. He saw what was going on. And he asked himself, he said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" And the answer he came up with is, "No, I'm not going to hide it from Abraham because I trust him. Yes. I know that he'll command his children after him. And what I give him, he's going to give to his children." And so the covenant that God made with Abraham was not just with Abraham person, but it was with Abraham and his lineage. And it said here, "Shall I hide it from him, seeing that he will surely become a mighty nation? All the nations of the earth will be blessed in him." And then dropping down in the last part of the 19th verse, it says, "I know he'll keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." So when he said Abraham, he was meaning the lineage of Abraham also. Because he didn't bring it all out on just Abraham, the promise. It took a very long time to get the promise of Abraham fulfilled. And so he was saying that he trusted this man to be able to hand it to his lineage. So he was giving something to Abraham that he knew he could trust him with, because he would command his children after him. And there is a very strong purpose in raising our children in the fear of God. It's not just to make their lives comfortable, but there was a purpose that Abraham handed down to his children. And you look at the example of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. they all raised their children, giving them the covenant that God had given the father before them. And they raised them with this mindset that you are here for a purpose. You're here for something greater than yourselves. We're here dwelling in tents and tabernacles because God has promised us this land. And there's so many types and shadows in this, even for us spiritually, when we're raising our children, is we don't just raise our children just to enjoy life and have some nice comforts and have somebody take care of us when we're old, but we raise our children with a purpose, and we're created to be able someday have a family of our own. There's a lot of young men here. This purpose that we have in our heart, if we establish this, we will benefit generations following. And so we look at what God was talking about. He was talking about Sodom here and how wicked it was. And who was living in Sodom? Well, there was Lot. Lot was living in Sodom. God didn't reveal this to Lot. He revealed it to Abraham. And let's compare and contrast a little bit right now the family of Lot and the family of Abraham. Abraham dwelt in no continuing city because he had a city that has foundations whose builder and maker is God. He had something that was far beyond just the comforts of this life. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom, and so he put his family in Sodom. And so what happened to his family when he pitched his tent towards Sodom? What was the result there? Why did Lot pitch his tent towards Sodom? Well, there's a lot of things in a city that bring comfort and security. There's strength in numbers, and it was a green and fertile land, and all these things. There were reasons why Lot pitched his tent there. But what was the purpose in that? And what was the purpose that he gave his children in living there? I think of a child. They're a little computer. And we have a word today in technology, algorithm. It's out there all the time. Algorithm, algorithm. And I think about the algorithm of a child's mind, of a decision. An algorithm is basically just a sum equation of a whole bunch of transactions that happen over time, and then here's the result. And it's predetermined based on historical data and all these facts going into it. This is the answer. And so a child's mind is one that is computing. They're understanding what really makes you tick. And if you really want to know where you stand, you ask your children where you stand. And so I think of Lot. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. He didn't have the same purpose that Abraham did, that he was here not making his roots and his name and his legacy in this earth, but he was making it in heaven. But Lot had the opposite effect, and it had the opposite effect on his children. We think of Lot, you can see that it seemed like he had the comfort of life more than the purpose of the Lord for his children. I mean, he offered his daughters to these wicked and vile men, and then look and turn what happened to when his daughters had a choice on what to do with their dad, and they did something very disgraceful to their father. And I just think, well, Lot, you kind of made your bed there. And anyway, a child, when they are growing up, they are computing what is our real purpose in life. And if we're not very clear in our purpose will get swallowed up in this life, because we have Sodom coming in all around us, don't we? And we look at the sin of Sodom, and really I would say, someone told me recently, the sin of Sodom looks a little bit like the American dream. In Ezekiel, 38, it says the sin of Sodom was pride and fullness of bread and idleness of time. And you think about the American dream, where we work and we save up our money and we get our big house and we get isolated and insulated from everybody else and we live our happy little life and you know, we've got that pride and we have that drive and all these things just so I can get to where I can live like no one else, sit back and relax and just twiddle my thumbs and enjoy my time. And I think that sounds too much like the sins of Sodom than living in tents in the desert, in the wilderness, because we have a purpose that's much greater than this life. And so, it didn't work out for Lot, and it doesn't work out for us today if we don't raise our children with this purpose, with this drive, that we are here for something much greater than just benefiting ourselves, than just comforting ourselves and making sure we're secure. But we live in tabernacles and we confess that we're strangers and pilgrims in this world. And it doesn't mean that we don't have an effect on this world. It says that all the nations of the earth, all the families of the earth would be blessed through Abraham. He had a direct impact on everyone in this world. And we will have a direct impact when we raise our children with this purpose. So I think of the blessing that the family of Rebekah gave her when she was going away to Isaac. So we see this in Abraham, and you can read in your own time. I know we're very familiar with it, the covenants that God made with Abraham and how he would bless him and his seed after him. And even Rebekah in Genesis 24 and 60, the blessing that they gave her was that they said, and they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister, and be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of them which hate thee, of them which hate them. So the children of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's children, they were conquerors. They were people that were more than just going to a city just to continue there and be comfortable, but they were conquerors. They were going into places that were not their own. They were theirs by promise, but there were other people there. And it says, part of the prophecy was that your children would go and possess the gate of your enemies. That sounds like not a very comfortable place, but it's a place of victory and it's a place of conquering. And so we raise our children with this mindset that we are conquerors in this life. We have something of more purpose. I don't want my ceiling to be the top of where my children are at. I want my ceiling to be their floor. Amen. To where when I raise them with such purpose and desire that they say, all right, God, I understand that dad's number one purpose in life was to serve you.
Yes.
But individually, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to live my life, to structure my family? And so I don't want to just get to a certain place and say, all right, if my children get here, then I'm happy. But I want my children to be able to step above me to where they can get to areas and to, that's the whole idea of arrows, that you're sending your arrows somewhere where you couldn't go before. Let's read in Psalm 127. We'll read that. Psalm 127 and 3 through 5. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now this sounds like a man, a family that is raised with purpose. When you're perfecting an arrow, you're doing it with purpose because you mean for it to hit the target. It's not something that we do haphazardly. It's not something that we do just casually, but it's a goal and a purpose that we say, all right, God, you gave me this child and it's your heritage and it's your blessing, and I'm going to raise it to bring glory to you to the best of my ability. And so when we do that, we can shoot those arrows out. And they, of course, they have a decision to make, but we can get them very close to the cross by them understanding what is your number one goal in life? What is your reason for living? What is your purpose in being here? You know, children understand our bends. And I told someone the other day, I said, it feels like a parent, especially when you have several children, you're going to fail at something. And I would rather fail at maybe giving them everything they could have to be successful in this business life or whatever it is, and succeed in giving them the number one reason for living, than to succeed in making them into some wonderful diplomat or someone to be able to stand in high places and have plenty of money and do all these things and fail to give them the true purpose of life. Is to just simply live in tents and sacrifice yourself to God. The other sin of Sodom was that they did not consider the poor and the needy. So he said it was pride, fullness of bread, idleness of time, and then they did not consider the poor and the needy. You know, our purpose here is to serve our humanity around us, and it's our responsibility to find out where we need to do that and what purpose God has for us, because He has a different job for every one of us here. And so it's very easy sometimes when you see children grow up and move out to see maybe what their bend is. And Lord help me, I haven't raised my children, so I know Satan battled each one of us, and it's our children's own decision. But I want my children to know without a doubt what Dad's number one goal was in life. My dad would tell us many times, boys, I would rather you all be a trash truck driver for the rest of your life and serve God than to go out and make millions or do whatever, and lose your soul. Another thing that I want to think of, with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they raised their children with a vision and a goal in mind. And it's very good for us to have vision and goals for our children, to have a motto, a family motto. You know, I've seen this in different families. Like, I was raised with a mentality that we're a missionary family. Well, I never lived anywhere past Logan County limits, but yet that's what I was raised with. In my mind, we were a missionary family, and we don't have to be going long distances and other places to be raised with a mentality that we're a missionary. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob raised their children with a mentality that they had a greater purpose in this life. They had a noble and a proper goal that was beyond what people understood around them. Nobody understood that. But yet the Hittites, when Abraham asked them for some land to buy For Sarah, they called him a prince. Here he lived in tents, but yet they called him a prince. They knew that he had a goal that they couldn't really see, but they understood something about it. You know, the men that lived around Lot didn't have that same respect for him that they had for Abraham. So the world around us, even though they might make snide remarks about family and children and things like that, that's just the world that we live in, Sodom. The more progressive the world gets, the more they discount and dislike children. But, you know, we don't beat to that drum. We don't march to that. We value our children. We value the blessing and the heritage that God gives us. And we realize that God has a special place and a purpose for us individually as well as families. And so it's good to ask ourselves, Lord, what is my purpose? What is our purpose for our family? Because I definitely don't want to go out there and sacrifice and spend all my time trying to win the world and lose my children because I forget that they're my number one goal. But that doesn't mean we should forget the world, but we should serve the world through our children, with our children. And it's a beautiful, beautiful example when people from the world see a godly family that's in order and that even the children are desirous to see God work in people's lives. You know, I just think of the idea of Sodom and our current day world around us, and I think the idea that that children are disposable, that children are a burden, that children could even be aborted, and these kind of things, it just makes me wonder, how did we get here as a society? How did we get to the point that we think children are a distraction from our real goals? There was a former first lady of our country not too long ago that said, well, I would hate to see women lose their ability to abort because I wouldn't want them to have to be burdened with a child. And it's not just in the political world, it's all around us. And if we don't watch it, it can come among us. Maybe not to that level, but it can come to the point that we are even persuaded and pressured by the world standards of what a family should be, that we're more pressured to do what the world thinks than what the Bible says. The Bible says children are an heritage of the Lord. They're a blessing. The fruit of the womb is His reward. But yet, what is our reaction? Most of the time, our reaction is more what people think around us and what the world thinks around us than what does the Bible say. We don't march to their beat. We don't care what they think. And I hope you understand what I mean. We are not affected by what the world says around us as much as it is to make our decisions. We don't base our decisions on what the world thinks of us. We base our decisions on what God's purpose is for our life. And every one of these blessings that God has given us is something that He wants us to take and hold as a treasure and to do our best to send them out into the world to do part of the mission that God has for them that we couldn't do ourselves, but yet it's multiplied in us because of our children. And you know, you young people today, it is a proper and a beautiful and a noble goal to be married, to want to be married, to want to have children, to want to someday have a home of your own and provide for your family and to provide that safe place to raise children and yet to provide a vision and a structure that can give them something, a purpose beyond this life. Give them a purpose for the world around us. You know, I look at Now that we're living in California most of the time, it's even more accentuated. It just seems like hardly anyone is getting married these days. And out there, the family structure, which is the fabric of our society and has been, the family structure is so broken and to the point where there's very few young people even getting married. Part of it is they don't see the good example of a family. And so we really stand out in our neighborhood and where we're at. But, you know, that doesn't make us the oddball or the abnormal one. We're doing it according to the Bible. And I think of the whole experiment that our country is going through and Western civilization, where they've gone to where they just put on this pedestal, you know, your own little life, your own comfort and all these things so high. That where is it leading us to? It's leading us to loneliness, absolute loneliness. There's so many people. Suicide rates are going up because the family structure is so broken. We are designed to need family around us. We're designed to have people that care for us. There is no one that cares for each other like a family does. That's the way God designed it to be. And when that structure is broken, society starts to break. And we see that around us. And so these are one of the things that I like to hold up as a banner. Like this is a banner here. God wants us to have marriages that last a lifetime. He wants us to raise children to glorify Him. These things are something to be proud of, not to be ashamed of in any way. So, if you want to be married, that's a noble goal, to be married. And I hope that our men, our young men, value what we have here. I hope they value the young women that are here. It burdens my heart. It hurts me to see wonderful young women get passed over sometimes because maybe the lure of the world takes young men away, and they don't get to realize that. Beauty of having a family of their own sometimes. But I want to just encourage us, each one, that if the Lord has given us a family, thank Him for it and seek Him. Seek Him with all of your heart. Lord, I want purpose in our family. I don't want to just raise our family just to enjoy this life. It's very easy in the world we live in to enjoy the fruits of our own labors. And Ecclesiastes says that that's the reward that God gives, is to enjoy the fruits of our labors. It is. But you know, it must be tempered with the design God has for us and sacrifice to what His glory and His purpose is for our life. So, I think of a story that my wife told me here recently. There was a couple that got married, and they had a vision. They wanted a boy and they wanted a girl. And then once they had that boy and girl, they wanted to tour the world. And they had all these dreams in place for that. And they had their girl, and then they had their boy. And then their boy died at 2 years old, and it turned her world upside down. And she started thinking, what is really the purpose in life? Is it just to have what I envision as my own luxury and comfort, or is it to benefit the world around me? And so she started really digging deep within herself, and then they started adopting children. And they adopted several special needs children, one with Down syndrome, and they adopted one that had a life expectancy of just 6 months or a year, and they took care of that child until it died. And anyway, over the course of time, they've adopted like six children now. They have had 8 children now, and their whole vision and focus of life has changed from what they thought would make them happy to them being truly fulfilled. And I put that out there as just a word of encouragement today, is that don't let the world affect us in any way, what we think will make us happy, whether it's our retirement or traveling or all these things. Do not let the world affect us. We are not affected by the world. We have a continuing city that's in heaven. It's not on this earth. We don't build our basis for our dreams here. And it's very easy for us to get swept away with that. But my encouragement is today that as arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Those children are our opportunity to affect the world in the greatest way possible. I know there are many other ministry opportunities, but if a minister, no matter how wonderful or powerful he is, if he loses all of his children and they're an absolute wreck, it really hurts his ministry. And our desire and our goal and our purpose is that we glorify God through our family, not in spite of our family, but through it, that every one of our children, we pray over them and say, Lord, I want you to work your will in their lives. I want you to work your purpose. And you put that responsibility on your children when they're young. You speak of it in the morning and in the afternoon and the evening, and when they go to bed, you tell them you're created for a different purpose than the ones around you. You're created for a heavenly goal. You're created as a prince in this world. Not in any sort of pride, but as a responsibility to the world around us, that God has created us for a different purpose, a different vision, a different goal than most of this world has around us. So I love the idea of marriage, of family. It's a beautiful thing in this way. It's what Christ said is like his church. As a husband and a wife, that's the relationship. That's what God chose in this world to show the example of what his church should look like. Is an example between a husband and a wife, and a family as well, I might add. And so maybe we be encouraged. I know there's not very many families here today, but maybe we be encouraged not to let the influence of the world affect us in any way. The idea of family, the idea of marriage, these seem to be very fundamental things, but yet very fundamental things are challenged in our world today. And these are things that need to be stated and restated, that these are what bring glory to God. These are the fabric of our society. These are what affects the world around us more than almost anything else we can do, is to raise a godly family with purpose and vision and a motto to serve the Lord all of our days. Pray for me.